But at night, it lights up really nice.
Jose Lugo says these tall metal towers quickly popped up after Brooklyn Battery Tunnel toll booths came down.
We don't really know what's the purpose of this.
It's a $100 million MTA project full of secrecy, with 18 of these for the tunnels and bridges. So what are they exactly?
Are you saying you can't comment to me? You know,
that's the MTA's man in charge of bridges and tunnels, Cedric Fulton, dodging our questions.
Not even later, can we talk to you about it, or can I make an appointment?
Some MTA board members, including New York City Transportation Commissioner Polly Trottenberg, say they know too little about the towers, even with about half the money spent and some of the towers up.
A lot of the board members felt like they didn't have all the details they would have wanted, myself included.
Residents who say they suspect there is much more going on with these towers than meets the eye wonder, will they ever know what's going on inside them?
I'm going to guess it's probably not just a decoration.
It's a bit mind-boggling that the MTA is approving $100 million for what appears to us to be big decorative pylons.
John Caney is leader of the watchdog group Reinvent Albany.
What we're asking for is transparency from the MTA.
We demanded answers from MTA Chairman Joe Loda.
Some of your own board members say they don't know the specifics.
The base of these new pieces that are going up include whatever fiber optics are necessary for those homeland security items.
In other words, anti-terror technology. Could it one day include facial recognition? We don't know. He won't say.
I'm not at liberty to discuss that.
So watch as more of these expensive towers rise with mystery tucked away inside them. In Lower Manhattan, Dave Carlin, CBS 2 News.
Hey guys, it's KJ from the Scariest Movie Ever channel on YouTube. So for quite a while I've been following this story about 5G and the developing network. And it's my opinion that this is a physical manifestation of what I call the beast system. Quicker connections, more streamlined videos. I mean, who wouldn't want that? But as most of us know, you typically can't trust the official story on most things. And when we really start looking into this 5G system, I personally start seeing a few major red flags. One is the damage that it can do to nature and also humanity. And the other side of it is something that I question. We know that the New World Order is all about control. It's also about depopulation. And I find both of those subjects when I look into the 5G beast system. On one hand, it is harming people. And on the other hand, it literally seems to be a manifestation of the beast system control grid.
What's up, guys? Spencer D here. End of August 2017. I just wanted to make a quick video to maybe help people start looking up at these new cell towers they're putting up everywhere. You can't go much more than a mile without seeing a new one. They all seem to be at about, 100, 150 feet high. This one happens to be in my aunt's backyard. From what I hear, they're putting off radiation like you wouldn't believe. As you can see, this one right here. That's what they are. 5G microwave death machines. I mean, whatever they are. They're not telling us what they are, and they appear to pop up overnight. But start looking around for these. You see all those power cables going up the side? Those are thick power cables. There's no reason for them to be all connected to all that stuff. 5G, huh? That's what's next. And this is what's gonna allow it. Start looking for these guys. They're putting them in inconspicuous places. Places that already have a tower that's 150 feet high. They'll just nonchalantly put these little rectangle receivers or whatever they are. Those things. They'll just put them right around a tower that's already up. We have here downtown, what's called the Nut House, Lansing Lugnuts. It's our minor league baseball team. The Nut House is across the street, and they have a tower that's about 100, 150 feet high. I just noticed that they put a bunch of these rectangles all around the tower. And it's like inconspicuous, and they just go up overnight. Nobody notices them. Nobody's talking about them. And I've seen guys with their measuring devices out, and these things are putting off mad radiation. Like, it's something that people need to start talking about. Start noticing how often you see these things. They're going up everywhere.
Many of us see signs of a very dangerous time to come. This will be the full realization of the New World Order, where the government really is in complete and total control of the people. But how could they get there? How can they watch all of us? How can they find all of us? Well, it seems this 5G network might play into that. These are the prison bars of the prison planet, and they will use technology to find us and also to confine us.
Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, in a patriotic, working-class, old California neighborhood, on a beautiful, warm California summer day, we find, right in the center of these two trees, a huge cell tower. The array is very, very dense, and I can only imagine the energies, the electromagnetic frequencies that are bombarding this neighborhood and these people 24/7, 365. However, this first cell tower is right near this second cell tower. Now, this array is probably no more than 40 feet tall. These are one-story buildings, and that's right in the back of these one-story homes. So within 200 yards of each other, the communications industry thinks that it's completely acceptable for this neighborhood to endure the electromagnetic frequencies of these two huge cell towers. However, this is the first cell tower. This is the second cell tower. And just off to the north is a third cell tower. This is coming to your neighborhood too. It may not be as gross and as industrial as a tower, but the 5G system will be in everyone's neighborhood very soon. That's the plan. So my suggestion to you is learn how to shield your home from the electromagnetic frequencies. Your home is where you rest and recuperate. And take a look at the paints that are available, the screenings that are available. There are many technologies out there that can make your home a safe haven from this type of electromagnetic frequency radiation. And there's one other thing that I want to say. It's time to learn how to detox the heavy metals from your bodies, because the heavy metals serve as an antenna, and they magnify the effects of the electromagnetic frequencies within your body. So, on Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, this is being shot with a smartphone, keep in mind. I don't have any way of zooming in on any of these things to make them look more dramatic, but the fact that these three huge towers are so close to a residential neighborhood, they're in a residential neighborhood, is a message that is being given by the communications industry to the citizens of the United States and the world, that the communications industry does not care. So remember, you saw this. There's one to the left, two in the center, and a third right here, disguised as a tree.
I just saw this story the other day. I thought it was interesting, and it started me more on this path. Humans are all connected by special Wi-Fi in our brains. They call it the interbrain. And through this, scientists believe that we are all connected, which is also a great metaphor for this 5G system. And that's why it should come as no surprise we're seeing so many stories about transhumanism, the rise of robots, because they're trying to connect humanity to the internet. They're trying to connect humanity to this 5G system.
The USA is currently leading the way on 5G. At the June 2016 press conference, where the FCC head Tom Wheeler announced the upcoming of low, mid, and high spectrums, there was no mention of health effects whatsoever, but the dangers are very real. Thousands of studies link low-level wireless radio frequency radiation exposures to a long list of adverse biological effects, including DNA single and double-strand breaks, oxidative damage, disruption of cell metabolism, increased blood-brain barrier permeability, melatonin reduction, disruption to brain glucose metabolism, and generation of stress proteins. And let's not forget that in 2011, the World Health Organization classified radio frequency radiation as a possible 2B carcinogen, which means it causes cancer. More recently, the $25 million National Toxicology Program concluded that radio frequency radiation of the type currently used by cell phones can cause cancer. One of the biggest concerns is how these new wavelengths will affect the skin. The human body has between 2 million to 4 million sweat ducts, and our sweat ducts act like an array of antennas when exposed to these wavelengths, meaning that we become more conductive. A recent New York study which experimented with 60 gigahertz waves stated that the analysis of penetration depths show that more than 90% of the transmitted power is absorbed in the epidermis and dermis layers of our skin. There's also the effects on the eyes. There was a 1994 study that found that low-level millimeter microwave radiation produced lens opacity in rats, which is linked to the production of cataracts. And there's also the effects on the heart. There was a 1992 Russian study that found that frequencies in the range of 53 to 78 gigahertz, and that's the same which 5G proposes to use, had impacted the heart rate variability. It's an indicator of stress in rats. It also has effects on the immune system. There was a 2002 Russian study that examined the effects of 42HGZ microwave radiation exposure on the blood of healthy mice. And it was soon concluded that the whole body exposure of healthy mice to low-intensity EHF and EMR had a more than profound effect on their immunity. And of course, there's also effects on cell growth rates. There was a 2016 Armenian study that observed MMWs at low intensity mirroring the future environment brought about by 5G. Their study conducted on E. coli and other bacteria stated that the waves had depressed their growth as well as, quote, changing properties and activity of the cells. In 2007 and again in 2012, a group of scientists and public health experts released a report suggesting people reconsider our relationship with these energy fields. Known as the Bioinitiative Report, its aim is to assess scientific evidence on how EMFs impact our health. The conclusion is that we need to drastically reduce our EMF exposure. They said not everything is known yet about this subject. What is clear is that the existing public safety standards limiting these radiation levels in nearly every country of the world look to be thousands of times too lenient. So there's a system that's set up in the UK, and it started back in 2001. It's called the TETRA, T-E-T-R-A system. So it started off as a home office microwave system. It turned out that it's become the mainstay of British police force communications, and it's been placed in every major population center since. The British government spent £2.5 billion on a 400 megahertz pulse modulated microwave transmitter network, which broadcasts 17.6 hertz into the brains of all Britain's police and anyone living near the planned transmitters. It's said to cause disruption of neural networks, leading to behavioral and character changes, also manic behavior, followed by nervous exhaustion, also disruption of higher brain functions.
A Team 10 consumer alert tonight. The more we rely on smartphones, the more data we want, and the more antennas we need. But at what cost? Workers say they're getting injured working on those antennas, and the constant push for more towers is putting them at risk.
Team 10 troubleshooter Kristen Severin joins us. And Kristen, you talked to a San Diego company with a solution to keeping them safe.
Yeah, there are 600,000 cell phone tower sites in the United States. They're everywhere, on the sides of buildings, streetlights, water tanks. But Team 10 learned thousands of those towers violate federal rules that are supposed to keep workers safe.
It hurts like hell.
Benjamin Rivas has worked on cell phone towers for 14 years.
I was dealing with them day in and day out.
He quit after an antenna that should have been powered down was still live.
Physically burned my hand.
The burn is a work injury you can see.
You burn on the outside, but internally it blisters.
Other problems he said caused by the towers aren't as easy to spot.
Depression, and I get headaches from time to time, and mood swings and stuff.
Rivas is one of 250,000 workers a year. An insurance rating agency said gets too close to these antennas. They act as an open microwave and can cause eye damage, sterility, and cognitive damages.
What we're going to go do is I'm going to show you the invisible footprint of these potentially hazardous areas that workers don't see.
Drew Fountain has a $20,000 meter that measures the RF frequencies.
And the amount of power that really comes off a lot of these antennas.
He co-founded RF Check.
Talk about
a San Diego company that tracks where every tower is in the U.S.
There's 22.
An 25. RF frequency over 20% can injure people. Here. Over 100% can burn someone.
We're over the limit for the workers.
Cell phone tower workers, roofers, painters, anyone that comes in contact with the antennas.
I got a 150 reading this morning.
Many tower sites have these signs.
Does anybody even see these?
Signs are dismissed by workers. This doesn't really say anything beyond this point. The law requires that the workers be made aware of these areas before they get near them. And that's not being done today.
Since 1985, the FCC has required workers be made aware of these dangers, but doesn't say how to alert them. The FCC gave notice of a proposed rule change 2 years ago for the cell companies and site owners to figure out the how.
Recognize what these are.
Fountain said that hasn't happened.
Phone providers are looking the other way and not protecting the little guy.
From here to here is the RF danger zone. Fountain wants workers to know about these areas before they show up to any cell phone site. Fountain helped develop RF Check to do just that. The only comprehensive database of every wireless antenna in the nation. They're working with the FCC to get it used across the entire industry. Workers would check the tower sites before any job. RF Check would be paid for like E911. That's the fee we pay for emergency services, so you could see a few cents more on your cell phone bill, but they are still trying to figure out that exact amount. I'm Team 10 troubleshooter Kristen Severance.
All right, Kristen.
So it's also interesting to take a look at what Wi-Fi can do to our fertility. There's been a lot of research on this, and one study examined the relationship between human sperm health and internet-connected laptops utilizing Wi-Fi. This form of internet connectivity is wildly popular, obviously, with many chain restaurants and coffee shops offering the service for free around the clock. But what the researchers found was quite shocking, especially if you're a regular laptop user. And pay attention to this right here. After just 4 hours of using a Wi-Fi connected laptop, a significant decrease in the quality of sperm was observed. So that set of studies was conducted back around 2011. And we're in 2018 now. Here's a story from 2017. Sperm counts of Western men plummeting, analysis finds. And throughout this article, they keep questioning what's happening, as if they have no idea where this is coming from. So as time has gone on, and as time continues, we are all going to be connected to this in one way or another. So no surprise, you're going to find your fair amount of propaganda around this. You know, this system doesn't want you afraid of it. They just want to put it in place. I found several stories like this. This one's from The Telegraph. Wi-Fi is not harming our children. Here's the evidence. And every one of these articles are the same. They're just playing down any of the research that's been out there showing the opposite. So we go from that story to this one. Why fried do wireless routers really kill plants? You may have heard of this story. It recently happened back in December. Some students in Denmark, and these were children, they did a school experiment and they found that cress, or seeds, growing near Wi-Fi routers went brown. And here's an image from that experiment. You can clearly see the healthy on the left and the unhealthy on the right. the crest on the left was not exposed to wireless signals, where the one on the right was exposed to two.
This is one woman's experience of living on the top floor under cell antennas for 2 months.
It started with my daughter. She initially got a rash on her leg that was sort of unexplainable. And when she was trying to explain to me what it felt like, she kept saying it was kind of funny because it wasn't hurting inside or on the skin. She said it was hurting in the skin. And then a few days later, she got another rash on her arm and then another small kind of stranger rash, and it was the same thing. And then one day in the kitchen, she was holding something and she dropped it because she said it felt like the blood in her hand went cold and in a wave along her hand to her fingertips, and then her hand stayed numb for about 15 minutes. Some more of the symptoms include a sort of hissing in my ear, in particular when I'm in my apartment, but for about 3 days, anywhere I went, it would just sort of come in. I kind of felt like an antenna, and I'd sort of kind of go like trying to find the place where the hissing or the buzzing stopped. I've not slept in my apartment since last Saturday, so a week ago now, and the buzzing went away after about 3 days. And also the feeling of tingling all over my body slowly started to go away, but I have noticed that whenever I'm in other buildings now or anywhere close to, I don't even know what, because I was never sensitive before. I'm no Luddite. I have, you know, I have computers, I have all the stuff that you know, most of us have, and I've never been sensitive at all. But now, wherever I go, I'm feeling the same as I felt in my apartment, feeling dizzy and nauseous and a sort of a metallic taste in my mouth, headache and pressure on my head, and just feeling like I want to sort of faint or throw up. And that's wherever I go now. So I found myself becoming increasingly sensitive to my own, you know, my own computer and my own cell phone in ways that I never was before.
Imagine the implications of a weapon with no visible trace, a weapon that could knock out tanks, ships, and planes as fast as the speed of light. The same technology with modifications could disorient and even tranquilize military personnel, rendering them virtually helpless in the battle zone. These are the new weapons of war we will examine in this series. For the past 40 years, the world has been riveted by the threat of nuclear war, and more recently by the prospect of space defenses using lasers and other modern technologies. But while both sides at the Geneva summit will be focusing on these matters, progress is being made in even newer weapons that could render any arms agreement relatively useless. Lightning is the most dramatic form of energy to be found in nature. Scientists have succeeded in creating limited types of artificial lightning, and some think that these could be the forerunners of a new type of directed energy weapon, part of a family of weapons which operate within the radio frequency segment of the electromagnetic spectrum and are thus referred to as radio frequency weapons. Dr. James Frazier has researched electromagnetic effects for the Air Force for over 10 years, and he, like a small but growing number of weapons experts, feels that radio frequency, or RF weapons, could be the wild card in the ongoing arms race.
You could have tremendous amounts of radiated power, and what you did with that power then is a matter of engineering design and what your goal is.
Robert Bass, a physicist and PhD in mathematics, is working on U.S. weapons research. He says that the Soviets seem to be ahead in a number of areas, and especially in RF weapons.
We are behind the Soviet Union in directed energy weapons based on 60 gigahertz microwave beams.
Dr. Bass and others feel the most likely form of Soviet RF weaponry would be high-powered microwaves, similar to a focused, ultra-high-intensity radar beam. It would literally cook humans and knock out computers and electronic surveillance and communications gear. An operational RF weapon, relatively cheap and reusable, could devastate sophisticated and expensive war machinery. The $20 million F-16 fighter, for example, is totally controlled through electronic sensors and computers. With no manual flight controls, the plane would literally fall out of the sky after being hit with a high-intensity pulse of microwave radiation. Scientists say that microwaves and other types of RF pulses operating at specific frequencies or windows can be transmitted with little or no loss of power. Machines known as gyrotrons can produce the massive pulses needed to drive these devices, and it's believed that the Soviet Union has a 3 to 5 year lead in this technology. Over the past year, CNN has repeatedly asked the Department of Defense and the Air Force about radio frequency weapons. After much resistance, DOD finally said that the subject was too sensitive to discuss. In my next report, unexplained cloud-like phenomena which may be evidence of a Soviet breakthrough in RF technology. Chuck DeCaro, CNN Special Assignments. This is a Soviet LIDA machine. It transmits low-energy radio pulses between 0 and 100 cycles per second. In the Soviet Union, LIDAs have been used for years to tranquilize psychiatric patients without physical contact. This sound, which is received by shortwave radios in the United States, is generated by another Soviet radio frequency device. It is known as the woodpecker because of its tapping noise. It is broadcast by a number of high-powered radio transmitters operating deep in the Soviet Union since July 4, 1976. Though the official Defense Department explanation of the woodpecker is that it is an over-the-horizon radar designed to track U.S. missile launches, some scientists suspect that the woodpecker is designed to interfere with human brain function.
As far as I'm concerned, the potential that this has for producing a direct psychoactive effect upon the total American population is there, has never been disproven.
Dr. Robert Becker is a pioneer in the field of bioeffects of electromagnetism.
The signal range within which the woodpecker operates is that which has been reported by many investigators to produce a tranquilizing effect upon animals.
We are just incredibly sensitive to these magnetic stimuli.
Dr. Bob Beck, a PhD in nuclear engineering, has done extensive research into electromagnetic effects on humans.
The signal was permeating power grids in the United States. It was being picked up by power lines, re-radiated. It was coming into the homes on the light circuits.
I was surprised after coming here that the influence of electromagnetic fields was almost completely ignored here.
Dr. Larissa Valenskaya was heavily involved in Soviet electromagnetic research before being allowed to emigrate to the United States. She told CNN about Soviet research in electromagnetic effects.
They demonstrated theoretically and also demonstrated experimentally that low energy electromagnetic fields also can possess biological influence, biological efficiency, because any field not only carries energy but also carries information.
She stated that the research was carried out on orders from the Soviet government.
Of course, the military were extremely interested in this potential of remote influence.
Is the United States military working in the field of electronic mind control? Officially, the Department of Defense will not comment because the subject area is, quote, too sensitive. But CNN has learned from this government scientist, who did not want to be identified, that a Navy laboratory conducted research into the use of an RF device for counterterrorism and special operations.
It's possible to entrain a certain percentage of a population, apparently, with weak magnetic fields.
The study also showed that RF signals could dissolve certain types of rat brain cells at a distance, causing disorientation and nausea. According to the scientist, even though the program was successful, the government never followed up on it. Dr. James Frazier did electromagnetic research for the U.S. Air Force for many years. At one time, he proposed a battlefield RF weapon system.
You could make an antenna that would be carryable by a helicopter, and that this could be expected to produce a wide variety of symptoms, actually, by humans who happen to be standing in the beam.
According to Dr. Frazier, the Air Force never followed up. At Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, another RF weapons concept is nicknamed the Brain Bomb. According to the book Star Warriors, the Brain Bomb would focus a nuclear blast into a huge pulse of low-frequency RF energy that would stun huge numbers of troops. Apparently, it too has not yet been funded. The Department of Defense will not comment about Soviet RF weapons, or if American RF weapons development is going forward. However, experts interviewed by CNN say that the Soviets are apparently ahead and could exploit that lead in a surprise strategic move, a move that could have grave consequences for the United States. From Washington, this is Chuck DeCaro, CNN Special Assignments. This is a Tesla coil. It was invented some 90 years ago, but now a growing number of experts in the United States feel that it may form the basis of a new generation of Soviet weapons. They are known as radio frequency, or RF weapons, because they operate in the radio frequency spectrum. Their existence is noted in this U.S. Department of Defense publication, which says the Soviets could use them to destroy components of missiles, to interfere with radar and other electronic systems, and even to alter human mind functions. The concept of RF weaponry was predicted at the turn of the century by Nikola Tesla, an American who had emigrated from Yugoslavia. He is best remembered as the man who invented alternating current electricity. In 1899, Tesla built this giant coil, which produced 10 million volts of artificial lightning. From it, he theorized the possibility of death rays. This and many other of his ideas about the physics of electricity were ridiculed by the scientific establishment.
Pure science is not a sure thing. You can't predict what's going to work out and what's not going to work out.
Robert Gulka, a research scientist, built a replica of the Tesla coil about 80 years later. Gulka was trying to produce a phenomenon known as ball lightning. He also used the Tesla coil to conduct testing for the U.S. Air Force.
What I was doing was setting in maybe 5-foot-long models of advanced fighter aircraft, and we would want to try to find out which part of the airplane was more vulnerable to lightning strikes, whether it was the wingtip or the canard where the pilot sat.
These experiments could also demonstrate the effect of the electromagnetic pulse of a nuclear blast, and Gulka says the effect of RF weapons as well. Gulka thinks that Tesla's theory, that electromagnetic power could be transmitted through the Earth and its atmosphere without wires, is a key element in the Soviet Union's work on RF weapons. Tesla's novel weapons theories were generally ignored in the United States. Nikola Tesla died in 1943, and after the Second World War, all his papers and effects were shipped to his native Yugoslavia, where they were enshrined in a museum. Some say that that museum proved to be a gold mine for Soviet weapons scientists.
We haven't even formally, so far as I know, to ourselves, admitted that these weapons exist in the hands of the Soviet Union.
Weapons analyst Tom Bearden, a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel, is among a small group of scientists and engineers who believe that the Soviets have perfected Tesla's ideas and are developing radio frequency weapons on a scale unimagined in this country.
There have been a series of tests of these kinds of weapons, apparently, for a number of years. For example, airliners from Iran, before the fall of the Shah, saw deep within the Soviet Union very large glowing spherical balls of light, which started out small and then expanded to very large size, which are apparently these kinds of weapons for use in an anti-ballistic missile defense role.
Bearden believes that these satellite photographs are of mysterious non-nuclear explosions near an uninhabited island in the East Siberian Sea, and that they are discharges from an RF weapon that uses intersecting energy beams called scalars.
In doing so, you can create, for example, either an electromagnetic explosion at a distance, or you can create an electromagnetic implosion at a distance, the extraction of energy from a distant point. This would look like a cold explosion, so to speak. And I believe the thing on April the 9th, 1984, off the coast of Japan that involved several 747 jet airliners, I believe that incident was a test of a cold explosion weapons. At least it met all the characteristics.
Pilot Doug Happ was in one of the 5 airline crews that saw an incredibly large cloud rising from the moonlit overcast below.
It looked like a plate coming up through an overcast, but it just kept expanding.
I have a question. Which palm tree looks the healthiest? This one? This one? This one? That one? Or that one? I have another question. Which palm tree looks the sickest? That one? That one? That one? That one? Or that one? Well, if you said that one, you're right. Would you like to live next to a cell tower?
Now here's another story I found very interesting, and I think this is a good one to end the video on. Wi-Fi visualization lets us see the ghostly waves that surround us. Lewis Hernan, a PhD candidate with the Architecture and Interaction Design Group at Newcastle University, is exploring a concept, and he's developed a machine that turns internet signals into vibrant LED-based forms. So these are actual images of the experiment, and what you're looking at are Wi-Fi waves. And these things are all around us at all times. It's crazy to think how many of these towers are going up, how many more of these signals are scrambling all around us. You know, could there be spiritual entities, beings, inside of these Wi-Fi signals? And if so, it's even creepier to think that these things are infiltrating the human body and the human mind. So food for thought, I guess. And I'll leave you with that. This 5G beast system is going up all around us right before our very eyes. And there are people all around the world that are trying to fight this in their own communities. I can't blame them.
Now to my backyard. That's the word in a neighborhood on Long Island protesting a plan to build a cell phone tower near their homes.
They claim that those towers can cause health problems. Eyewitness News reporter N.J. Burkett has more from Woodbury.
They continue to go up. Why?
Residents are demanding answers tonight, demanding to know why dozens of cell phone towers are quietly appearing on their streets with no explanation and no notice.
I think we're so concerned about it because they're not telling us what they exactly are, and they didn't notify us prior to them being installed.
This is emitting radiation, and no one has answers for us.
600 poles have been installed across Long Island, what's known as a small cell network, identical to ordinary utility poles, but topped with cell phone repeaters. Residents are not compensated, but the towns ordinarily collect a modest permit fee. Denise Tufano's pole was installed just 3 weeks ago.
This needs to come down. This is a bus stop. This is too close to residential homes. This should not be in a residential area.
The Texas company that owns the poles, Crown Castle, says it's committed to working with local officials on placement. Hundreds have already been relocated. The town supervisor says that's not good enough.
They don't belong in front of someone's home. Aesthetically, it's horrible. We want to know what the health effects are.
Leading authorities say the repeaters are safe. According to the EPA, at very high levels, RF energy is dangerous. RF energy decreases quickly over distance. At ground level, exposure to RF from sources like cell phone towers is usually very low. The company says this pole, like others installed in recent weeks, has yet to be activated. Although the town issued the permits, the supervisor says he's determined to revoke them and to prevent any other poles from being built.